So today's readings obviously talk about humility a lot. And a bunch of things can be said about this. It sounds like in the reading, the first and the third readings, there is sort of a cost-benefit analysis going on. If I'm humble, then God's going to love me and blah, 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 blah. And then if you invite all these poor people, these ne'er-do-wells to your place, then God's going to love you and reward you. Makes perfectly good sense to us capitalist folks. But the longer you look at or think about humility, you know, we got Donald Trump saying, I humbly accept your nomination. That's, you know, the word should have choked in his throat. And everybody says that. Oh, I'm so humbled by this. And it's all baloney. Or 90% of it is baloney. Humility is not an event. It is a condition. You don't just turn on humility and turn it off when it's inconvenient. That's not humility at all. Again, that's calculation as to what I can get most out of this crowd or this person or whatever by feigning humility. Because it's a feigned humility when it's able to be turned on and turned off. It is a condition, which means it's permanent, in place, shaping all of your decisions. So you don't have to say, oh my God, what does God want me to do? Oh, I'll be humble. I'll invite all these bums into my house. No, for God's sake. God does not play tricks with us. We are not God's playthings. We are God's partners. As the Bible says over and over and over again. Think of that wonderful scene in Genesis where God and Noah are arguing about how many just are going to be saved in this little time. Lord, 50, if you find, well, 50, okay. 40, how about 40? Oh, okay, 40. Then we'll get down to about 2. Oh, all right, we'll forget the whole thing then. Why is that important? Because it shows that God treats us, human beings, as equals. You know? As equal partners in the whole endeavor of trying to live a humane life, or doing what God wants when God created us. And that's the key to the whole business. The keystone of humility is the awareness that we have all been created. Something I virtually never think about. You know, life goes on, you know, like a little engine that could, and I get up and I go to bed, get up, go to bed, do my work, blah, 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 blah. The fact that I am a creature of God rarely crosses my mind. And yet Paul tells us, what do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you behave as if you hadn't received it? You know, that's a constant transtemporal injunction for us to think about ourselves. It's not going to happen magically. It's not going to be implanted in our mind that we are created. It will only result from reflection on oneself. When in the quiet times, there are not many of them, when you say, well, who am I really and where did I come from and why am I here and all that, then there's an opening to an awareness of our createdness. Donald Trump once said, I never introspect because I'm afraid of what I'll see. I mean, that's one of those revealing statements he's ever made. Because if you want a totally non-introspective human being, look to Donald Trump. Because if he looked, he would say, oh my God, Trump, you're creative. No, I'm not. I built Trump Towers. I'm a billionaire, blah, 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 blah. He's an object lesson for us all. So humility comes from the Latin word for earth, humus. And that opens all kinds of other possibilities. If I am created, then so is everybody else. In other words, the understanding of createdness extends not just to me and my self-understanding, but to everybody. We've all been created. We're all part of a common stock, common clay, if you will. And that's why when Luke says, well, go invite all these ne'er-do-wells into your house, these people are losers, they're not going anyplace. You don't say, oh, I'm being nice, I am Lord Bountiful, taking care of all these bums. No! You do it spontaneously because you know you're a co-creature of all these people. And that's of enormous importance. And that's why the world is such a terrible mess. Israelis killing Palestinians, Congolese killing all their people. Bashar al-Assad has worked up to over 2 million people that he murdered. Maybe he's trying to catch up with his father, who killed 4 million of their own citizens. But you mentioned humility to them along the lines that I've been suggesting. They won't have a clue as to what you're talking about. The Dalits in India, the untouchables. You may remember several years ago, not so long ago, some upper class Hindus burned themselves to death at one of their universities rather than having to go to class with an untouchable. I mean, that's terrifying. That bespeaks a level of ignorance that is unspeakable. Because they don't see themselves as equal with everybody else. But that's where we are, folks. I was talking to one of my sons today. He wants to be a star. He's 42 years old. He wants to be a great musical star. He wants, you know, his name in lights and 50 million CDs of his singing. I said, Jidane, it's not going to happen, love. It's just not going to happen. You know, I'm not a star. You're not a star. 99.8% of the human race are not stars. And even to become a star is largely an accident. You know? How many unsung stars, unacknowledged stars? How many singers could sing like Pavarotti, but lived in some little maize field in Italy and never were discovered? It's flukish. And I think that's another help. If we look at these so-called stars and say, it's all a fluke. Michael Phelps didn't ask for the genes that he got. He got them, period. Finished. And if he got them, as Paul would say, why do you pretend as if you have not got them, that you created them yourselves? This does in no way reduce major accomplishments, either in business or academia or any place else, to nothing. But as a great caution to those of us who've been more successful in life than most of the human race, to know that we're here largely by luck, and this in no way makes us superior beings to all those people who don't have PhDs, the Dalits, the people gassed by Assad, the Aleppo orphans who are dying like mad because the Russians and the U.S. and Assad will not let trucks come in with food and medicine. It also holds the key to war. I lived through the Second World War, and it was a matter of absolute consequence that you had to denigrate these people. The Japs were not human. The Germans were not human. It's only when you can say they're not human that you can kill them, which is exactly the way every war works, whether racial wars, ethnic wars, economic wars, whatever kind of war. It requires a mythologization, a sick mythologization of who you are, what your reality is, which would inhibit your killing another human being. So, I mean, we live in a tawdry age, I think, where everybody uses humility as one of these great catchwords that's going to look good in the press. Oh, look at, he's so humble. She's so humble. That's rubbish. It's pretense. And you can see it in terms of the rest of the life that they live, how they treat other human beings. And if they don't treat them as co-humans, no matter what their station, you're not humble. So let us pray for genuine humility, for a conversion of the way we understand ourselves and the world.